I knew none of it. I hadn't got a clue. And I was, at that moment, I was absolutely terrified because I couldn't remember, but I knew that I knew it.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Surviving to Thriving with Sharon Saylor. And oh my goodness, it's Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Always excited to be with you for another episode of the Autoimmune Hour. I'm down here in sunny Florida, not so sunny this late at time. I mean, we still got some sunlight, which is great, but you know, I'm getting a little bummed as I notice that the hours, the minutes, you know, it keeps getting darker sooner and sooner. I was in Europe, oh gosh, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I was out at 10 p.m. and it was still light. And you know what's fascinating to me is how great I felt. I mean, it was like, wow, I had so much energy at 10 p.m. And now I'm starting to feel sort of that hibernation thing coming on. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's only 7 p.m. Still light out, but it's changing. And tonight I am thrilled because I have been after this guy to get him on the show because he is absolutely awesome. And I'm going to tell a little story because we had his wife on a few weeks ago and she was talking about bouncing back from adrenal fatigue. And I wanted to talk to Neil because they're both dear friends of mine. And so I know a little bit about their background and stories. And one of the things I wanted to talk to Neil about was memory loss. And he's got a fascinating story about memory loss, and I'll chime in. But welcome, Neil. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having me. It's always a beautiful time when we connect.
Oh, you know, and I know you so well, I forgot to introduce you to the audience other than memory loss, Neil. His name's Neil Thrussell. And he's a 4-time international best-selling author. He's best known for the Warrior Heart series books, and they're doing awesome. Even he's published them a while ago, and they're always in the top best-sellings, which is fantastic. They're great books. He's a master of the Shindao, speaker, facilitator, life coach, reverend, and he always calls himself a web geek adventure, husband, son, uncle, and lover of life. So, and that's all true. That's all absolutely true. So Neil, you know, we've known each other a while, so I know some of your story, but share with the audience what happened with memory loss, because it was pretty dramatic.
Absolutely. It was dramatic, and it started because I did a urine test for a part of a physical, and they said, Neil, you have really high mercury levels. And I said, okay, so what do we do with this? And they told me some of all the conditions that were high levels of mercury were doing to my body. So I said that I wanted to get rid of it. And part of it was removing my amalgam fillings. I was a rotten kid when it came to my teeth in my youth. And I was too excited about life, so I forget to brush my teeth, or I didn't, and I ate candy. I didn't really look after my body. At that point in time, I hadn't figured out my body is a temple, as opposed to my body was just another place for sugar. So we started removing amalgam fillings, and at the same time, we were starting chelation therapy. Chelation, I don't remember how to say it properly. And the medical profession that I was dealing with said, Neil, and they said very clearly in all the paperwork I signed, do not do this in the same week. This could have catastrophic effects for you. And I went, yes, sir, okay, okay, okay. Well, fast forward to June 12th, 2012, I have my dental appointment and I get a huge back molar removed. So when they remove the amalgam filling, as careful as they are, they still cause mercury to go through your blood work. Then on the, so that was a Monday, on the Tuesday, I go in for an injection, chelation therapy. So they inject this chemical into your body to release the mercury from wherever it's being stored in. So, and then I'm supposed to drink lots of water so that I can pass it. Well, the mercury settled in the softest tissue in me, which was the kidney. I mean, my brain.
Neil, you always crack me up.
And I only know this because I'm, and it was terrifying because I've been doing martial arts for almost 3 years at this point in time. And every Tuesday we practiced a pattern. We did just, you go through your punches, your kicks, and they have a set order that these occur. And the instructor, my black belt instructor says, Neil, pattern three ready. And I got ready. And then he said, pattern one, begin. And I knew none of it. I hadn't got a clue. And I was, at that moment, I was absolutely terrified because I couldn't remember, but I knew that I knew it. I absolutely knew. And there was not one piece that I knew. And that was the start and the realization of the terrifying realization that my life was now different. And it took 2.5 years for me to recover with medical intervention and medical treatment to get my memory back.
Wow. Wow. So let's backtrack a little bit. Did they have any idea of how you got so much mercury in your system?
The most, because I was a rotten kid, is the most is it was, they narrowed it down to, when they were pretty sure, that there's no guarantees in life, that it was the number of amalgam fillings I had in my mouth.
Wow. My mouth, so my bottom fillings.
Yeah.
Kingham, how many people, we'll just generally throw this out there, Neil's in my age, had, I mean, I've had all mine removed too, but had amalgam fillings as a kid. It was the standard. That's what you had. And I'm thinking of how many people had, I had more than several as well. I mean, that's pretty amazing that it wasn't some other exposure, but just the fillings.
Yeah, because another common one is fish. So mercury from toxicity from fish. But I do not like, I will eat fish, but it's not like I go every day and or every Friday and have fish. Fish would be a rare occasion for me. So it was pretty much narrowed down to amalgam fillings. And that's only in my case. So that's, I'm not saying that everyone would have it, but in my case, that was what we narrowed it down to.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah, there are plenty of ways. I mean, people that work in the chemical industry are sometimes exposed to it, all sorts of ways to get exposed to. And it's not just mercury, is it? I mean, it's also known that they call it a combination of heavy metals sometimes. Yours was due to mercury, but people can have more than one metal contaminant.
Yes, and the interesting part is when I finished after my memory loss and they restarted a very gentle chelation therapy to much gentler, much slower, and over a longer period of time, that yes, I had a little bit of lead in my bloodstream, but by the time we had finished the chelation therapy, the lead was gone. The mercury was almost negligible by the time I had removed all of my amalgam fillings and finished the chelation therapy. But that only took 3 to 6 months for the therapies to remove that out of my body, but it still took almost a year and a half, 2 years after that, for my brain to remap its memory, where these memories were stored, and to be able to access it too.
Well, that's awesome that you were able to restore it. I'm thinking of how many people have memory loss that's complete. Now, I'm not sure what they'd call your memory loss. I had some of the drugs I took during the early recovery phases from my autoimmune condition caused short-term memory loss. I still had long-term, I could remember patterns, I could remember my children, I mean, things from my...
Oh, that's good, that's good.
Yeah, it's good. I could remember a past and people I had known for a long time. But what I couldn't remember is if you and I had just had a phone call and I had agreed to do something, I'd hung up and I was like, who was I just talking to? And I know I agreed to do something. What did I agree to do? And that was so frustrating because I was taking notes constantly to just keep up. And another concern of mine was that I had had a family member that had had a head injury that induced short-term memory loss that they were never able to get back because of the head injury. And so I combined that with a fear on top of it that, oh my gosh, what if this is permanent? What if this is not going to go away? Thank heavens, got off the meds. And as you, it didn't take 2 years, but as same as you, it took a while for the brain to recover, but knock on wood, it's recovered.
Yeah, I feel your fear because when you, for me personally, when I didn't know what I could and could not trust in those first couple months, it was terrifying to the point of that, yeah, we could have a perfectly great conversation. I could turn around three times and sit right back down in front of you and go, hi, my name is Neil.
Wow. Yeah. I could remember people I knew, but if I had just met them, forget it. I would have that same response because mine was all about the very short term. Oh my gosh. So what are some things as you went through this process of healing with the memory? Did you do specific exercises for the brain or specific things to help your brain recover? Or was it just about rest and let it heal?
One of the first things that I was told, water, 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 so that allowed all to keep my brain hydrated and allow the toxins to flush from my body. The other thing was make lists, any kind of list. If I and any kind of order to a dog, if I made a list and put it into any kind of order and then take it out of order and put it back into an order. Any kind of cognitive exercise was just, I love puzzles, like crossword puzzles. Even if I couldn't finish them, it was like, who cares? Spend 2 minutes a day just doing a crossword puzzle to get your brain to think.
Wow. Wow. Water. That's, you know, we've had some guests on to talk about other simple things like, recently I was talking to someone about breathing and how we overlook the very obvious, the very simple things that our body requires. We were talking with the other guest about people tend to hold their breath a lot or breathe high and not get full deep breaths. And here it is, water is another absolutely simple solution that's cheap and easy to do. But how many of us are walking around severely dehydrated even if we don't have injury to our brain?
I suspect lots of us. And when I was initially diagnosed and figured, I could know within like 20 minutes that this was, oh, my brain, I'm dehydrated, my brain, my ability to focus in that was diminished.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. When I was told with some of my, not with the head injury, but just with the kinds of medication I was on to save my organs and my kidneys, especially, water, water, water. And to be honest, I wasn't really a heavy duty water drinker beforehand. It took me a while to get used to it. To get used to this.
You know, yes,
this is so plain.
Yeah, I hear you. For me, it was even scary. For me, one of the things that really annoyed me the most in my memory loss is I had an uncanny ability for direction, and you could almost never get me lost. It might take me a few seconds to figure out where I was, but to get me lost was almost impossible. In 2009, I went to Sri Lanka to rebuild after the tsunami with my brother-in-law, who's from Sri Lanka, and we're in Colombo, a city of, I don't know how many million, and we were looking, we're in a tuk-tuk, and we're looking for a particular address, And I'm going to my brother-in-law saying, Nihal, we're this way. And he's like, no, we're that way. I've never been to Colombo in my life, or they'd only been there a couple of days. And I was right.
Oh, my gosh.
But my memory, I lost my ability. I could easily get lost, even in my own neighborhood, that I was like, if I didn't have my phone with my GPS and I went for a walk by myself, this was dangerous.
Wow, that would be scary. That would. Now, when it first started, were you given a diagnosis of you can get rid of this, or was it pretty much get real, this is your life now, Neil?
That's a good question. I don't think I was ever told that this was not going to go away, but I don't remember the doctor ever going, well, we can cure this, because they were unsure of how severe and what it is going, because only time can tell you. You know, you've got mercury toxicity, it's settled in your brain, it's blocking. We're going to try to get rid of it, but whether that really gets rid of it, they don't know.
Yeah, I have read before that the blood-brain barrier is one of the hardest barriers to penetrate, so that's just amazing. Yeah. That some things do. Wow. So as you began to recover your memory, share with us some other tips that you had. So you made lists, you drank lots of water, you practiced crossword puzzles, all sorts of other things. And I guess, how did your family cope with this?
I was honest right at the beginning, and I told them that, and we told them and we shared with them. But in most cases, they didn't see a significant difference, because we had so many shared memories and we weren't doing things that required me to be outside of too many comfort zones. But if we went outside of the normal family realms, they could see it at that point in time. And they were very supportive. They were just like, oh, Neil over here, or they guided me, and they didn't belittle me, and they just were godsends to help me through this. Now they, once I'm through this, they're back to their old ways, and it's the sibling, and it's all good. But what one of the things that I discovered, and if there's a blessing or a silver lining in any of this, because I was speaking on stage at the time, so I had to give that away, because I couldn't remember. Unless I would be like, and Neil says this, I couldn't do it. So I gave up speaking, but I didn't give up coaching, because it gave me the incredible opportunity to really listen to people, because I had no past. You had no past. So I could only listen to what it was that you were going through right here and right now, and to the nuances, so that it absolutely made me a better listener and a better coach.
Wow, I hadn't even thought of that. How awesome is that, that you, without the background story, you had to fit to work with the immediate and what was happening right now. I can think of how many times when I'm talking to someone I know and I know the background story, it's so easy to go, oh, well, you remember that or this or that, and try and connect it, and there may or may not even be a connection. Wow. I'm thinking, what an awesome gift to those people to have someone who was in the present moment, whether that's exactly where you wanted to be, but you were in the present moment.
And yeah, I had no past reference with people, none. Like, we could have been best friends, and you're telling me that we did this in high school or whatever, and I'm going, oh, okay. And the joy of that is it freed up so much energy that I could have been carrying, and I didn't carry, because it was the past. I don't care. I only care about right here, right now.
Oh my gosh. We need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Neil about that gift, because how awesome is that if we're not carrying around a lot of this stuff, including, I'm going to say, a lot of the mental baggage of being given a diagnosis. Because one of the things that I remember very vividly was when I got the diagnosis and I was told all the bad news, like, this is your life from now on. And I had to argue with the doctors, like, no, no, thank you for the diagnosis and we're going to cure that. So what an awesome gift in a strange way. We'll come back and find out more silver linings in just a minute.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Surviving to Thriving. And I'm so happy to have my friend Neil Thrussell here. And he's a 4-time international best-selling author, including the Warrior Heart series. He's a master of Shindao, speaker facilitator, life coach, reverend, web geek adventurer, husband, and on and on. And, you know, we've been sharing, because he's just an awesome guy, as you've been hearing. We've been talking about when he suffered a sudden catastrophic memory loss. And as Neil is one of these people, let me share a little secret with you. Neil's one of these people that sees the silver lining in everything. Every time I talk to him, he's always got, yes, and it's always a wonderful silver lining. And he was sharing the silver lining about with memory loss, it forces you to be in the present moment. It forces you to do a lot of interesting things. Neil, share us with this some more. I'm thinking about, have you figured out ways since you've been through that process, and I know you do a lot of thought on meditation and mindfulness, things like that. Have you figured out some ways now to still stay in the present moment, knowing what you know? Once your memory came back, was it hard to stay in the present moment and not sort of drift off into, oh, I remember this and I remember that?
Absolutely it was, because the ego wants to kick in. I remember, and you were wrong, or whatever. Then for me, then I just went, but I miss that presence. I miss that real heartfelt connection. And it became more of a discipline to go, I don't care about the past. I don't care about the past. Let it go, let it go. Just be fully present to this beautiful, divine individual that's in front of me. And it became a discipline. It wasn't work, but it just became something that I really was passionate and I really cared about. Because when you don't know anything about a person, it's beautiful when you learn so much about them and you ask open questions and powerful questions and you're playful and you're just on, and you're not mad at them because 3 years ago at Aunt Bertha's, whatever, they did something to you. It's just fun.
So share with us a couple of things that you do to bring yourself back, because I know in my technique, in my practice of mindfulness, I have some tips to bring myself back to that moment, because sometimes the grocery list wanders through. So what couple of tips do you have that you can share with people to bring them back to that point of where you're just truly intentionally listening to that one person right in front of you?
I usually ask myself, is there anything more important in my life than what is right here and right now? And then this is really quickly, and then if this person was to die, would I feel bad about missing this conversation? And it's boom, because I can almost 99% always answer, absolutely, this is more important. And the few times that it's not as important, then I go, so what do I need to put into my life or set into motion so that I can look after what's more important, but be here, right now? So it's a lot like just boom, 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 boom. All of these things occur quickly, but it's a recognition of this moment is pure joy. This is where my heart wants to be, because I'm connecting with another human being. And really, life isn't hard. We just make it hard. And I believe life is meant to be enjoyed. And unless I'm cuddled in with a book or with my cat or that, it's all about connection with people for me.
Yeah, that's what one of the things Neil and I connected on when we met. And let's talk about this idea of life isn't hard. I've run into a lot of people, and my autoimmune condition switched from surviving to thriving when I started to look at past traumas, past dramas, things I was still holding on to, even if I thought I had gotten rid of them. And I was making my life so much harder than it had to be. So let's talk about how we see people and how you coach people through these times when you go, goodness sakes, they've got a lot of baggage.
I tend to try to get people to explain their life without the drama. So, hi, my name is Neil. I'll make up a story. Hi, my name is Neil. My parents were alcoholic. I was sexually abused, and I've been doing drugs for 6 years. When you can explain your life clearly and without the attachment, it's easier to move on, as opposed to, oh my God, my parents were alcoholics, and because of them, I can't do anything. I believe we need to take full responsibility for our actions and for whatever has happened into our life without the drama, because there's some terrible things that have happened to people. Terrible, 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 terrible. And we need to recognize it, maybe not honor, but just be cognizant that it's there. And then the next piece is move on and get past it. Life is meant to be lived in the now, not in the past and not in the future. It's meant to be lived right here, right now. So if we're worried about what could be and what should be, we're not here. So everything that I try to get people is into their heart and into the right here and right now. And let's forget about the past. Let's forget about the blame, shame games, and just be present.
Oh, thank you, Neil. And by the way, I just want to put a little asterisk there. That was a made-up story, okay? that's just a made-up story. And one of the things that I find interesting when I'm coaching with people is I listen intently. It's like, are they reliving this story or are they retelling this story? And I think a lot of coaches know about this. You can really tell when someone is back in that moment as they're telling you what's happening, or if they're retelling the story, it's just like, yeah, that's part of my life. I'm that is part of what made me up. But you know, the silver linings are, or the gifts are, the life lessons are, and be able to bring it into the here and now without all that drama and all that attachment to it. And I think that's one of the critical things in listening is to be able to help someone and know, oh my gosh, are they back there? Even though they're here with me physically, are they back there in that moment still being re-traumatized?
My clients that I attract are the crazy ones and the adventurers, the extroverts, the ones that'll run to a cliff and look down that we're 50 feet above a river and we know that the river is deep and we'll go, you want to jump? Let's go! And we jump. As opposed to the ones that are standing at the end and going, well, I wonder how deep the water is. I wonder if it's cold, whether, and all of this. So the people that I traditionally coach are really the experts, the risk takers, the crazy people that, well, we might end up in hospital, but we're having and living life to the fullest.
And that's why I put that adventurer part in there. And thank goodness we have a wide variety of coaches. Some of the people who like to stand on the cliff and guesstimate the depth.
Absolutely. And for those, there's beautiful coaches and people out there that will, for that, like, that's not within my, like, when I'm coaching, you get one, two, oh, we're going to go? Okay, let's go. Are we going to go? Go. And then if not, well, we could be done. I recognize that people have fears and they get stuck and we sometimes need to work through those blocks, but I attract people that are willing to go, okay, Neil, I'm scared, but let's go.
I love that about you, Neil. What are some of the things when people say they are scared? What are some of the things that, you know, I know about fear is just, you know, getting stuck with thinking that fear is real. What are some things that, because I know when I got my diagnosis, I was really scared because I didn't know anything about it. I mean, well, when I first heard the word, the ignorance was bliss part was like, wow, that's a big word. I don't even know how to spell it, let alone Google it. But after that, once I read about it, you know, fear kicked in. What are some tips that you have for people when they have that moment where fear kicks in that they're able to shift and go, okay, let's go?
One of the easiest, and it makes no sense, but you're not alone. Never feel that you're in any of this alone. Somebody will walk the journey with you. Somebody, you may not be someone you know, someone that, but somebody is walking that journey with you and will always be there for you, whether it's a first responder or somebody. So first, it's just sounds crazy that you, so you're never alone. So even with knowing that, it sometimes can lessen your fear. For second piece, it's just back to what you had said before. Breathe. Take a deep breath and reel the little mind in for all the million possibilities that it's going. You've got this and this and this and this and this. Bring that in and breathe. Bring the calm into it. And then start your research. Start. Find the experts' opinions. Find. Pick up. If you've got diagnosed with any kind of medical condition, meditation is beautiful for bringing in the little mind, monkey mind, and going all over the place. Bring in meditation, bring in breath, and make sure, it doesn't matter what the diagnosis is, bring fun into your life. Make sure you are having some form of fun. Doesn't matter. You could be diagnosed with terminal something. There's still an opportunity to enjoy whatever you have left in your life.
Oh, that's so true. And a couple of things came to mind when you said you're never alone. I appreciate that because at first it was hard for me to ask for help. But once I started asking for help, it was interesting. For me, where people go, thank goodness you asked because I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to intrude. I didn't. And thank goodness you said something. I'm happy to go get the groceries. I'm happy to do this. I'm happy just to sit with you. But it was all about me taking that first step just to ask sometimes. Sometimes people intuitively know, but there are a fair amount of people that don't. They're just like, oh, I don't know if I should intrude. I don't know what I should do.
And yeah, I can tell you, when I was in the throes of my catastrophic memory loss, I was the driver of almost every time. But when I was in the throes of it, I was no longer the driver. I had to ask for people to take me places. And 9 out of 10 times people were happy. The 1%, they weren't. They just weren't available. Just ask. And as an aside, we went in New, so 2 years ago. So in 2016, so 4 years after my catastrophic memory loss, we were in New Zealand, and I still got stuck where I didn't feel comfortable enough to drive, even though I had previously driven on the wrong side of the road, or their right side, but on my wrong side. I didn't feel comfortable driving because I couldn't trust that I could sort it all out. My mind had not. So I asked my brother-in-law to drive, because he fully expected just to hand me the keys. So it's knowing your body and knowing when to still, and it's okay to ask for help.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the key things, is asking for help regardless of what's going on, whether it's memory loss or other things, was important for me. Now, let's talk. Sometimes people get all tangled up in this idea. I know you do a lot of meditation, a lot of mindfulness work. Let's share a little bit about that, because I know that was a key part in your recovery as well. But I think people get all tangled up, like, oh, Sharon, I just don't want to sit there, you know, with my in the lotus position going om. And they get all tangled up into too much of the story of what mindfulness and meditation is. So share some of your tips for people, how they can begin to practice that.
Most people know the traditional, for lack of a better term, the masculine Eastern tradition of just, yeah, sitting down in the lotus position and releasing, getting rid of everything out of your mind. There's so many other ways. Trance dance, so a dance, a very feminine form, just put on music that's fast, that I think 144 beats per minute, and dance and be lost. Let the music sweep you up and take you on a journey, and it will free your mind. Sufis, the Sufi whirling dervishes is a form of meditation. You're turning, I believe, west, so you're turning left, is another form of meditation. A candle meditation, just sit in a chair in a dark room with a candle in front of you and look through the candle. It doesn't have to be in the lotus position. Just sit and listen. Find electronic music and just sit and just let the neighbors know that you're going to do it, and blare it, and you will be lost in the music. You will be lost in the moment for whatever music, because music is will transform the soul, and it will move you to, you don't even need words, but the music itself will move you across the emotions. There are just, you don't want to do any of that. You can take, there's breathwork classes. Holotropic breath work. There are just so many options to get you out of the thinking mind.
Oh my gosh. You know, one of the things you said about the music, and I had to laugh, because as a child of the rock and roll era, I don't know if it's 144. I don't know anything about that part of music. I just know there are certain songs that I turn on full blast and just listen to it. And it, you know, it's from my teen years, but it has some sort of trance-like effect on me that I just turn these few songs on full blast. And I'm not saying it transports me to the past. I'm not sure where I go, but I am in the moment just listening to these songs that have, you know, I even remember all the words types of songs. And to me, sometimes that's the best. I won't call it meditation because I'm not sure it really is, but it's the best release. I find it a stress release sometimes to turn on these old rock and roll songs that I love full blast and just sit there and enjoy them.
There's also, there's meditation CDs so that you can, MP3s and or podcasts you can get, and then just put in your various players, and they will turn off. Like, I created one with one of my friends, Rick Martin, and it's a 60-minute IM CD, and we will often just put it on late at night and turn the light out, and it'll just be in the background. There's theta and delta waves going on, and it will just, when the ocean is crashing, and there's these beautiful positive affirming words, and we will fall asleep to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know our mutual friends, Dave Dashinger and Tamara Green, have the beautiful yes. app called Loving Meditations. They've been on the show. Guys, if you're interested in that, go to Understanding Autoimmune and just search for Tamara Green and Dave Dashinger, and you'll find out, be able to listen to their show on their Loving Meditations app, which is great because there it is right on your phone. So that's an awesome way too. Now, we need to take one quick commercial break, and then we'll get back into this, and then we'll find out more about the Warrior Heart series and how we can learn more about Neil. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon. Recently, I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Surviving to Thriving, and I'm here with Neil Thrussell, and he's been sharing his story of how he recovered from sudden catastrophic memory loss and how that was brought on by mercury toxicity. And Neil, before we had to take that quick commercial break, we were talking about meditation, and I want to talk about that, and then I also want you to share a little bit about the Warrior Heart series, because that's just an awesome series, just always in the best-selling area.
Thank you. Everyone has the opportunity and ability to do some form of meditation. Some form doesn't have to be the traditional meditation. Everyone is capable of mindfulness. One of the simplest things we can do for mindfulness as a practice is slow down our eating. Taste what we're putting in our mouth. So if you normally take 5 big gulps to chew a hamburger, take 20 and really savor it. One of the most fun is when it's dessert time. Really savor whatever it is that you're going to have for dessert. You know, it might sound weird or crazy, but close your eyes and just experience this dessert.
It's funny that you say that, Neil, about eating, because I hadn't thought of that as a mindful practice. But early into my diagnosis, they wanted me to help heal my gut. One of their recommendations was slow down your eating, chew, 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 to get the enzymes of the salivary glands and all of that going. So this is awesome that not only are you healing your gut, but you're keeping yourself mindful at the same time just by slowing down your eating. Now, tell us a little bit about The Warrior Heart. Started the series several years ago, but it's always in the top sellers.
Yeah, I actually released the first book, A Warrior's Heart, The Awakening, in May of 2012, a month before I started my catastrophic memory loss. I was in the throes of writing book two for A Warrior's Heart, Perseverance, in the midst of a catastrophic memory loss. So I'm doing interviews for A Warrior's Heart, The Awakening, and writing a book, both at the same time, which I couldn't remember what I wrote in either case. So I have read A Warrior's Heart, Awakening probably 50 times, and I still love it. And my A Warrior's Heart, Perseverance was the book I was writing. The second book, I couldn't move on till I read all of what I had previously written, and then I could write some more. So when you're writing 90, you've written 90 pages first, and then you have to read 90 pages, and then you can write. It makes for long days.
Oh, my gosh. That's, being an author myself, I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Because I remember sometimes doing interviews when they asked me about one specific sentence in the book. And you're like, okay, let me think about it for a quick split second here. But oh, my gosh. So let's talk a little bit. What is in the awakening part? And then we'll talk about the perseverance part. What is in the Warrior's Heart Awakening?
I have two characters. Graham is the protagonist, is a very arrogant, full of himself, 40-year-old male that just the world revolves around him. And he believes that at the time that I started the book, that there was nothing beyond that we could feel and touch. There was nothing. Any woo-woo things, God, spirituality, intuition, that was just all hogwash. Whatever he could touch is whatever was existing. He, in his own arrogance, he was a pilot, and he crashed his plane in the South Pacific. And he did a miscalculation on his fuel. But somehow he was drawn, he didn't know why, but he was drawn back to go to the island. He knew, he discovered he was missing something in life. And so he wanted to go and find himself. So he goes back to the deserted island that him and his co-pilot had crashed the plane on. And as they're on the island, I introduce a character who everyone now affectionately calls Master Akio. And Master Akio was a Japanese World War II survivor, which was a work of art with the help of the Axis and Allies War Forum guys, because the book takes place in the Marshall Islands, and there was no possible way that the war historians would say that this could occur. So I was set upon a task to make my fictional book, actually a premise that they could support. So anyways, I created a scenario that they could support, and then the War Forum, they were so helpful in helping round out Master Akio, because I told them he needed Buddhist tendencies, and they helped bring depth to my beloved character, Master Akio. So Master Akio became Graham's teacher, mentor. He became his father figure in Graham's much maligned life, and he softened Graham's bitter heart to a much more awakened place, which is why the book is called The Awakened. I mean, sorry, A Warrior's Heart, The Awakening.
Awesome. Awesome. Now the second book, and that came out too. How did you deal with the memory loss? I'm curious, as you said, you're writing that you're having to reread numerous pages to re-keep you up with where it is. I'm just super impressed because I know how hard it is to write a book and when you don't have memory loss to stay up on it. And I can't imagine having to reread all of those pages each time you came back to add more to the book. What are some tips you have for that? I mean, I'm just totally stunned on that.
Copious notes, but the part was, is I don't know where anyone's list, the listeners or your viewers, that spiritual practices are, but the book, I was just the instruments, the typist. The book came through me, and so once I understood where it was, I could start the story, and then it just came through me. And so every time I would read my 90 pages, it would just come through me, and it flowed out of me. So yeah, it was like the divine just took over, and the book wrote itself. I just happened to be the painfully slow typist, too.
And guys, the books read like that too. It's awesome. And I could so relate because my Pinky Chenille series, I woke up at 2 a.m. and the whole book was in my head. Now, granted, Neil, that was only 790 words. So totally different experience than channeling entire series of books. We have about 5 minutes left and I want the audience to know more about you and how they can get a hold of you. And also just briefly tell us, what is Shindao?
Shin Dao. Shin is the Japanese word for heart. Dao is the way. So it is the way of the heart. I had an epiphany. I was driving south of Calgary. I'm in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And as I was driving south, and I just was hit with this epiphany of like, oh my gosh, everything I do, everything I stand for, everything I believe is about living the way of the heart. So I had to pull over and tears are just streaming down me and I'm like, because it was a beautiful experience. And then I went, well, how do I explain this? This is bigger than me. And I had a friend that was very big into Japanese kanji and he introduced me into a Japanese kanji master. And I said, well, this is what I want, living the way of the heart. And he just went, oh, well, that's real easy. This is a no-brainer. He says, it's the Shin Dao. And I went, and it just was perfect. So the Shin Dao is living the way of the heart. And the Shin Dao is about living, developing your body, inspiring your mind. This is one of these memory issues because I developed this while I'm going through memory loss. So develop your body, inspire your mind, uplift your heart, and open your heart to spirit. So there's four pillars, and it's all about the connection of all of these to bring you to that one place, your heart. Everything I do, everything my wife and I do in our workshop is about getting you into that heart. Because once you follow and live your passions, you're taking your brain along with you to get look after all the logistics. But we traditionally in North America have it wrong. We think our brain is carrying us and we put our heart secondary. And I believe when we follow our heart and use our brain as a way to pursue these passions and pursue what it is our hearts desire, life is phenomenal. It's blissful. And yes, bad things can occur. And yes, we all have bad days. And I think my record for a bad day is like terrible things have occurred. I had a friend commit suicide this past weekend. And it took me about a day and a half to, I'm not perfect. And I'm still subject to the tears and that. But life is meant, and I believe, meant to be blissful. It's meant to be lived full on, heart on your sleeve, Love like you've never loved before. Laugh like you've never loved before. Just live, 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 live.
Awesome. Awesome, Neil. Now, how can they get a hold of you? Give us your web address and other information about how people can find out more about your work. And that is my idea about thriving. When I talk surviving to thriving, and so many people with autoimmune get stuck in the diagnosis, and it doesn't have to be. But share with us your web address, because we're just about out of time.
Shindao, shindao.com. or neilthrussels.com, and you can get a hold of me in either place. It's wonderful, and thank you, Sharon, for having me on the Autoimmune Hour. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you, Neil. You're always a joy. I look forward to seeing you soon in real life, in person again. Neil and I bump into each other on the speaking circuit quite often, and so it's always great. Everyone, be sure and go to understandingautoimmune.com, and you'll be able to find the transcripts there, including Neil's and his lovely wife, Tina's, as well. Her transcript is up there, and so be sure and check that out. And join us next time, Friday night, 7 p.m., for a brand new episode. They're always later in podcast and on the YouTube channel. So be sure and look us up on YouTube if you want to see Neil in video, as well as listening to him in audio. And check us out over on Facebook, which is Facebook Life Interrupted Radio. So join us in all those great places so we can connect and share with us your stories. Everyone, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio.